Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shots, the Spectator's political podcast. The former John Lewis boss, Andy Street, has just won the West Midlands mayoral race for the Tories in a Labour heartland. It's the latest in a series of blows for Jeremy Corbyn's party in local election results across the country. I'm now joined by James Forsyth and Katie Balls to discuss. So James, what should we make of Andy Street's victory?
It is a quite remarkable win. I mean, 21 of the 28 parliamentary constituencies in this mayoralty are controlled by Labour. I think six of the seven local authorities are Labour. So this is a place where you'd expect, you know, them to waive a Labour vote, and yet the Tories have won. Now, look, Andy Street is obviously the former boss of John Lewis, is a far more compelling candidate than Sean Simon, a professional politician, an MEP trying to find another berth, given that he's not going to be an MEP much longer with Britain leaving the EU. But I also think it says something else. Andy Street is a very Theresa May-style Conservative. You know, he's not a classic let-the-market-decide Conservative. He's a more interventionist type. And I think this shows the kind of electoral potency of Mayite Conservatism and gives you a sense of how big the Tories could win in June.
Andy Burnham's also had success. What should we make of that, Katie?
Yeah, he's had success and also by a very large majority. So probably credit where credit's due. In his speech, he pointed out that his majority was bigger than Steve Rotherham, the other Labour candidate who is now the mayor of Liverpool.
I think the other thing about Andy Burnham is Andy Burnham won that contest, I think, on name recognition, Andy Burnham's policies. He wasn't running as Jeremy Corbyn's candidate to be mayor of Manchester. And I think you can't, you know, the fact that this is the bright spot for Labour is actually that the person who has enough of a personal brand up in that part of the country to really distance himself from Labour is the person who does well, I think tells you a lot about what is going wrong for Labour.
But also just the fact that Andy Burnham, I mean, obviously these mayor positions do have a lot of allure to some people, but Andy Burnham is someone who would normally be in the shadow cabinet. He was, you know, a House Secretary, and you would think that if he really thought Labour was a government in waiting, he would stay in Parliament. So I think it says something about the Corbyn regime too that he even went for this in the first place. But Labour also had a big upset in Tees Valley, where the Conservative candidate won, and that was not expected.
I mean, it's been a bad day for Labour, especially in Scotland, James. What's been going on up there?
Yeah, they've lost control of Glasgow Council for the first time in 40-odd years. And we see the Tories are clearly replacing Labour as the main unionist party north of the border. And that is a problem for Labour. I think that when you come to a general election, if Labour have to try and win a general election majority without any Scottish seats or one or two Scottish seats, which is what it looks like, it just becomes a much harder ask for them than it has been in the past. And I think the other thing that should alarm Labour is, you know, on these projected national vote shares the BBC does, the Labour share is the lowest the BBC have ever recorded for an opposition party. I mean, that is another sign of how bad the results in June could be for Labour.
It's not been an amazing day for the SNP either. They've lost control of Dundee Council. And while Labour did lose Glasgow Council, the Tories made some interesting gains there in areas where you didn't really think the Conservatives would ever really do well.
And they haven't won an overall majority, I'm right,
no.
I think. Yeah.
It's been a bad day for UKIP as well. I mean, are UKIP basically a dead party?
They now have one. Earlier we did the podcast and they didn't have any councillors, so we now need to do a corrective to that. They have one. Yeah,
I think UKIP are
taken from Labour.
They are an ex-party. They have ceased to be. I mean, I don't see what the point of UKIP is when you've got Brexit happening and you've got a British Prime Minister standing on the steps of Downing Street telling the EU Commission to butt out of our general election. I mean, this is the idea that for UKIP to carry on after Brexit, they needed some sense of betrayal, some sense that what people voted for hadn't been delivered, and because of the timing of its general election, it is impossible for them to gain any traction for that.
Yeah, and although, I mean, before it was always a bit of a problem for them that they didn't really have any MPs, or they only had one MP, now none, but they did have a big kind of local team, and the number of councillors meant they did have a presence on the ground. But now that's gone, it's hard to see them making many gains at all in June.
And I think you also, if you look at the other encouraging thing about the result for the Tories is we haven't had the Lib Dem breakthrough that some were expecting. The Lib Dem vote share is up nationally, but it's very spread out. You're not seeing the Lib Dems coming back in concentrated ways in the way that suggests that they were going to retain huge numbers of seats that they lost, retake huge numbers of seats they lost to the Tories in the West Country. And I think it's a sign of how limited their ambitions are that Tim Farron is boasting about maybe getting up to 20 seats in the general election. You know, that is still way below the 60-odd seats that they had at their peak.
Thank you, James. Thank you, Katie. And just a reminder that you can subscribe to this podcast on the iTunes store. It's called Coffee House Shots. And we've got a special subscription offer. You can get 6 issues of The Spectator for just £6 at spectator.co.uk/election offer.